going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Don't be surprised if the Jaguars trade back. Ooh. I've heard from multiple sources, and there are multiple people around the league saying that the Jaguars have a lot of interest in big wide receiver Tet McMillan. That would give Trevor Lawrence another great target. That would be exciting for new head coach Liam Cohn, but they don't need to pick him at 5. They don't need to pick him at 6. They don't need to pick him at 7. So the Jags could be making a trade down to 10.
Aditi Kinkabwala is on one side of the Jaguars fence, and there are people on the other side that they might be live for Travis Hunter at 2. All right, let's be the Jaguars for a minute. What do we want?
What do we want? I think I want to trade down and draft the receiver. I think that's what I would want to do.
It shouldn't be Genty.
Right.
It really shouldn't be Genty.
I agree.
They could go offensive tackle. There's that at 5. I don't think they should need to trade down to do that. They could just do that. They really don't need an edge rusher. So, okay. I don't know what to think of McMillan. He's been one of the most... The receivers have all been criticized for different things. Mm-hmm. Golden may be the least of all, but the profile has... I won't say too much here. More bust potential than other profiles, you know, the fast one. McMillan has a competitiveness, criticism, and I don't know. He seems good, but I still like Burden.
Yeah. I saw him comped McMillan. Boy, I wish I remember who. I saw him comped to somebody. Oh no! We heard it here. Sal just said it.
Sal said Evans.
Mike Evans. Like, if that's like a real tomato ketchup comp, I have no problem taking him. In the top 10.
The most common comparison for McMillan is Drake London, to the point that people make fun of it now because everybody says Drake London.
Yeah.
For him, like they didn't run, they weren't fast, big, you know, contested catches. But again, not like a burner. So, I mean, he's good.
He's good, and Evans is even better. Right? I mean, I think. I mean, all he's done is go for 1,000 yards every year. I mean, these things aren't direct comparisons. Just, you know, if I thought I had a chance, you know, a reasonable chance to be drafting a guy that could turn into something comparable to Mike Evans, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't worry about the 40 time. I wouldn't worry about any of that stuff. I, you know, competitiveness, how much does he love football, you know, doing the work. that's another layer that I would want to do my homework on. But I just feel like a lot of that stuff at this time of the year, especially, not that the stuff on McMillan is suddenly new the last couple days, like some other stuff that I feel like is sort of making the rounds at least more aggressively. It probably is, all of it's probably been out there just hiding in some corner, but now it's all coming out. I just feel like there's questionable motivation for that stuff coming to light, and maybe some team that's drafting, you know, in the teens is trying to see what they can do to get McMillan to fall. So I don't know if I might even suggest the Jaguars just stay at 5 and draft McMillan, but what she's saying there makes sense. If they don't have to spend that and get paid to do it and still get their guy, I mean, why not? I got no issue with that.
It's also always, you have to be a little bit careful assuming that the teams behind you, who in that case probably would not be drafting a receiver, are the teams that end up drafting in those slots.
Right.
Like, oh, well, you can just move to 10 because 6, 7, 8, 9 don't want a receiver, but that could change.
Right.
It could end up being somebody else. I think Miami could be interesting. Miami needs a lot. And they're at 13. And, you know, they apparently want to trade Jalen Ramsey. So you could expect a corner maybe for the Dolphins. That seems logical. But it also is, are you improving by doing that? You know, you really just sort of replaced the guy. You made a hole and then filled it. So I don't know how good that looks. But there's Tyreek Hill speculation too. And I've got an offensive coach. The offense needs to get better, more consistent. And I wonder if they're a team. They don't have a McMillan on their team, the Dolphins.
No, they've got all pretty much small speed. Waddle's a little bigger than Hill, and Hill's a thick, small guy. So he's not like he gets really bounced around. But
Jonnu Smith is their closest.
Right. What they don't have is a solid possession type receiver, I think. And that's maybe what McMillan, and that might, you know, push you away from a guy like that. I think you hear that description. And because I've read that about him too, and I thought, do I need to draft that early? That sounds like, I don't literally mean this, but that sounds like the worst case scenario for a guy I'm drafting in the first round. His ceiling is solid possession receiver. What? I want to shoot for higher with that. But there is value in having a solid possession receiver, especially if you don't have one.
Yes. Thomas Jefferson was the first to say that, I believe. That's been said.
The news conference after the 1777 draft.
Yes. 803-0550, we welcome your calls on the draft, which gets going tonight, round one, 8 o'clock. I'm thinking a lot about, you said earlier that you're warming up to trading down.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I asked Sal if he thought that they're doing this last year would mean anything to their decision this year. And he said, no, absolutely not. That wouldn't matter. That is also what Brandon Bean would say. Like, he may have even been asked that. He would say, of course not. Like, he might even be offended by the question. It would affect me, I think.
Well, it definitely affects the fan base. There's no question about that. And, you know, saying you don't care about it could, like, you know, you got to work really hard and get pretty twisty, but that you don't care about the fans. You don't care what they think, right? But I think in that job, you do have to take on that persona, even if you don't want to say it publicly. You got to do what you think is the right thing to do. And I agree. I think it's an interesting question, and it's one that I would be conflicted about, like, if I had that job, especially with how it's only 1 year, but how it went out of the gate is, you know, well, the guy that you passed on went to your biggest rival, and that seems to be going pretty well, and our season came and went, and we had news conferences at the end where you talked about how much your guy has to learn and figure out about how to be a pro, or, you know, words to that effect.
Not to mention Carter.
Right.
Like, they didn't get a lot out of it.
Right.
They didn't reap the benefits, to say the least, for, you know, by trading down.
That's right. So all of that would give me some pause, but I think I have to put blinders on and go, okay, what's the pool look like, right? As we're going through it, like, am I going to be reaching for almost anything that I need here or might want here? And if the answer is yes, and you feel like there's enough of a plateau at all of those positions, then, I don't know, 3 seconds and a third in place of a 1 and 2 seconds, I think that sounds okay to me, especially if it's a high second like it was last year, which is what I'm assuming if it's, the Giants or the Browns coming up, trading you their, 34, 35, whatever that pick is.
I hope we get one of those moves so we then find out what the price was, whether that's the Bills or a team around them that would maybe make that trade. Some of the mock drafts I see, many of them have the Giants and the Browns trading back in to draft their young quarterback, but it's like in the teens where I see it. Ahead of Pittsburgh. It's to get ahead of Pittsburgh, which is like the betting favorite today on Pittsburgh is Shedeur Sanders at 21. So maybe it would be a trade like that, but I'd like to know. This draft tech, maybe I should find a new chart, because every time we get into sort of like hypothetical trades, it always feels light.
Yeah.
Using this one, it always feels like the real trade would be better for the team trading down, more expensive for the team trading up. Take the Giants. You and I did this before the show today. That's how excited we are.
Right. I walked in the door and said, you got your chart out? Because I'm wondering what I get paid to move from 30 to, 34, 35, something like that.
It is, no kidding, very rare that we'll have a sports conversation before 3 o'clock. But today we did. And it's something like the Bills trade 30 and a Saturday pick for 34 and a late third. It might be good for the Bills. It would be probably good for whoever makes that trade from the first round, that the Browns and the Giants both have late thirds in addition to their early thirds. So that's probably the more realistic price, is like for the Giants to be pick 99. So you go from 30 to 34, you add pick 99, and you give up like 170 or whatever that would be.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me,
yeah,
too.
That's a way to not add picks. Like you're adding a valuable pick, but you're tossing another one onto the fire, and so you still are at 10.
Right, which I don't mind. We've talked about that a lot. I don't mind the number 10 for this, because you're never expecting them all to make the team, no matter how many you have. You just want to have the best odds that you find the right rookies, thinking about like Benford. In one, very positive example, just what if you threw the pick away, right? Then you'd really need a corner, by the way.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I like that too. My favorite thing about what they did last year, as I've said many times, was that they had all day Friday to wheel and deal with that first pick. Having the first pick on Friday seems like that's really good. Because there's somebody, 31 other teams, there's somebody they want, and you just keep going. But I don't know if the Bills were even open to that. I might guess that they weren't. They traded down twice, right, and like, you know what? We're going to pick our player now. And that, I kind of think, is maybe their attitude about tonight, too, mm-hmm. is we did this last year, and it didn't really, it didn't all pay off in multiple ways. The players involved, the extra picks that they got that really didn't matter in year one anyway. I feel like my reaction to that this year would be like, let's just not do that this time. And I don't think they'll be reaching. We've talked about 10 players, if not more, that seem reasonable at 30. That they're on mock drafts, sometimes they go earlier, sometimes they're not picked. But it's common that you'll see them in that range. And if I'm the Bills, I get one of those guys, I can live with that. I don't feel like I'll have reached to draft Amos or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Sal on the safety idea. I think he's making a good argument that he doesn't think they'd want to do that. But a lot of people are putting them on safety. I'm going with Sal on that one. So whoever it is, corner, defensive tackle, I don't think it's likely to seem like a reach. We'll see. If it's somebody we've never talked about, then it will.
Right.
Then we'll all be like, why didn't they trade down for this player?
Like if some linebacker that they have graded really highly falls to them or something and they do that, that might be like the worst case scenario for tonight for me.
UCLA.
Like to me, that's even worse than trading out.
Carson Schwesinger.
Right. His name came up yesterday.
Is the player.
And there also is, I guess, some talk that the Alabama guy, Campbell, I think is his mm-hmm. last name, could fall. There's a shoulder issue there. And that he looks like an absolute hellraiser. But again, like, what am I? maybe I'm only a year away from really needing a new guy there, right? But, man, I just don't feel like for this year that is good asset management if I were to sink. You know, even if the guy could turn out to be a fantastic linebacker, like as good as Milano. I feel like I'm not helping myself this year that much because Milano is still here and Dorian Williams is behind him and I've got Terrell Bernard and yeesh. But I don't know. I mean, he might be the best player available if he falls that far. And that scenario is a little scary to me.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, 803-0550. We know, of course, a lot of you put a lot of time and energy into the draft. What do you want? Let us know. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Draft round one tonight starting at 8. You can follow it all here on WGR.